Progressive presents Precious Moments.
Nothing beats driving cross-country in our RV.
This is so much fun, Dad. I don't even need to look at my phone.
It's not the destination.
It's the journey.
Jinx!
The exchange you just heard didn't actually happen, but it could. Bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive, and you could use the savings to make sure that RV is always ready to hit the road. Who knows? Your teenager might actually put down her phone for 5 minutes. It could happen. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Well, hello and good evening once again, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, does the voice sound familiar? I'm back. I'm sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders because he's a little under the weather. You know who this is. This is Coach Dwayne, known as Dwayne Riscoll from Brunswick, Ohio, the great state of Ohio. And tonight in studio, folks, none other than the Christian warrior himself, Randy Gay. Good evening.
Hey, be blessed. No stress, everybody. How you doing? Good to be here in the booth with the coach.
And also we have Job Lesko. Good evening.
Good evening. Hello, everybody.
And Danica Genovic.
Good evening.
And spinning the dials, none other brother than Styles, keeping us on the air, the electricity floating, so you can hear. And I want to give a quick shout out to Kathleen up in Troy, Michigan, and Frosty down in Texas. And right now, Randy, you got something to tell the folks.
Yeah. What I'd like to do is I'd like to give everybody the information for the newsletter. And I know a lot of you have been asking about it. If you're not on it, I'm going to give you our coordinates. I'll give you all of them so that you can either mail it or just call it in. If you want to call us, you can always call us at 1-440-338-1367. And I'll repeat that, 1-440-338-1367. And keep in mind, all you have to do is leave your mailing coordinates, so name, address, and if you'd like, please leave us your phone number, and we'll get the newsletter out to you. You can also write to us, if you'd like, at WRWL Ministries, and that's 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, and that's in Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. Once again, WRWL Ministries at 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, and that's in Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. Thank you very much, and the newsletter is no cost. Obviously, it's nice if you give us something, but if you don't, we send that anyway, and you'll be on the mailing list until you tell us to take you off. Thanks a lot.
All right, you know what we do. That's it. Get on that train. Let's go from the East Coast to the Midwest, down south, and all the way across to the West Coast. Come on, we got a great show tonight. And tonight's menu, folks, stuffed cabbage, barbecue kielbasa, or stuffed peppers with mashed potatoes and hot rolls. Your choice of apple pie or blueberry pie. And we also have hot teas and body armor drinks. And don't forget to check out the Mally's chocolate cart as it comes down. Now, tonight's topic after the Bible study is going to be called The Story of Killing of Bobby Henry and Bianca Palmer. That'll be after our Bible study. Tonight we're going to make this short and sweet, but we're going to get into some things with Randy and I. You know, Proverbs. A lot of you, when I've been on here, I've always told you, do yourself a Christian tune-up every 6 months. Every 6 months, every 6 months, every born-again Christian should read the first seven, at least, chapters of Proverbs to find out where you're at.
Can I interject something
Absolutely.
Here? Proverbs is divided this way. There are 31 chapters. What I usually do is every month on the first day, the first chapter, second day, the second chapter,
nice.
And you can roll right through it, and you can do that. And it takes all of about 5-10 minutes to read them, because you all know that the Bible chapters are half a page, most of them. But I read a chapter a day for that month. And obviously on the short months, then some days you'll have to read two chapters. But it works out really, really nicely. 31 chapters, 31 days in a month, or 30 days. And that's basically what I've done for the past probably 20 years. Thank you.
And Proverbs is so important. You know, people talk about, well, you need to get alone and meditate and reach into a higher power. No, you don't want to reach into any spirits that you don't know. You're going to sit back and meditate on the Word of God, and you're going to talk to God and let His knowledge. When you pray, you're talking to God. When you're reading the Bible, He's talking to you. And in verse 7 in Proverbs chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, Randy, you'll get people say, well, we shouldn't really fear the Lord. Here's where they're missing the point. Yes, you should, because God says, don't fear man, but fear Him who can both put body and or soul into hell. We fear God as a stop sign. Don't commit adultery. There's consequences. Don't fornicate. There's consequences. Don't get drunk. Don't get high. Don't cuss. There's consequences. Don't bear false witness. Don't say, there's consequences. That's the righteous fear of the Lord.
Well, absolutely. But let's look at it this way, too, Coach. They're good consequences. Go to work, you get a paycheck.
Yes.
I mean, so, you know, the consequences, no matter what you do, there are also consequences for not doing stuff.
Right. And remember, in the verse he says, it is the beginning of knowledge. Now, you can go to the library and read all kinds of books and get knowledge. You can go to seminars, what they do, and you get knowledge. But you're getting man's wisdom. But when you fear God first, Lord, I fear you. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to sin against you. You now get His knowledge, and His knowledge supersedes all the libraries of the world.
And you know the great thing about Proverbs, too? I call them one-liners. It's no long dissertation. It's a lot of this is one-liners, and then we go to the next one-liner and the next one-liner. And certainly anybody can memorize a one-liner.
I'm going to read a little bit real quick here in chapter 2.
Sure.
And when I read my son, this is for Dwayne. My son, Dwayne, if thou will receive my words, where in the Bible, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and seekest hers for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And it all ties into when you read the Word of God, and you fear God, and you obey God, and you seek this like you're going to want to make money, like he says, seeking for silver and stuff. When you go about trying to obtain all you can about Him, he says he'll supply his knowledge and wisdom and understanding.
Sure. You know, it's funny you talked about the one thing, and I always think of 3:5. If we jump over to 3:5,
okay.
It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart,
yes,
and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health,
yes,
to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And if we honor God first, if we keep God first, and if we don't become what the Bible calls a gainsayer, where God asks you stuff and you always got to know why or how, a lot of stuff that God's going to put on your heart and mind won't make sense. But remember that God is almighty, all-knowing, and all-powerful, and he makes it work, not you. So it doesn't have to make sense.
Absolutely. That's good stuff. And also, I have learned through years, patience. It's not something you get automatically. You have to learn patience. My mother used to say for years, your father should have beat you more because you don't have no patience. And it's true. You learn patience. You know when you learn patience? When you're sick and you're laying in that bed for a week and you're sick for a couple more weeks, now you can't go to work. Now you can't go to get something to eat. Now you can't get in your car, drive around. Now you can't go outside. Now you learn patience. And you know what? And God in his loving, he will allow sickness to come upon us because it draws us closer. Because when things are going good and the Buckeyes are winning and the Indians are winning and things are going good, and you really give God short prayers and short time. But when your back's against the wall and you're sick, you and I always have a come-to-Jesus meeting, let me tell you.
Well, think about it. You know, human things can resolve most of the things that make us happy. Like a little money can get you a car, a house, your bills are paid and all that. But when you're sick, there's nothing money can do. When there's certain sorrows, there's nothing money can do. And that's when you really need God. And that's why God sets that against us, because who would need God if they were never sick? Never out of it for poor people, it's money. But like I said, that's a human solution. But if you're sick with cancer, believe you me, then the glory goes to God, the honor goes to God, because money doesn't really help that.
Absolutely. You know, let's continue with what you've been reading here in chapter 3. Because
sure.
If you look, mine's all outlined with red letters and stuff. This was for me too, folks. And Pastor Parks has said the same thing. He has a phrase that God's taken him behind the woodshed, and it's no fun, because the Bible makes it clear, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, whenever you get sick, the first thing you always do, Lord, did I do something wrong? Is there unforgiveness in my life? Am I watching things I shouldn't watch? Am I saying things I shouldn't say? Am I doing secret sins that I haven't confessed out? Here's what God says about that. My son, Dwayne, despise not chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Now, when you get chastised, here's what God does. Sometimes, for myself, 1995, I almost died my third pancreas attack. I was never an alcoholic, but man, I had long hair, and I was burning a candle like Van Halen and living it in. I was dating beautiful women. I was drinking 100-proof booze. I was smoking dope. I turned my back on God when my dad didn't get a healing because of the charismatic Pentecostal movement. With that being said, my mother would always pray for me, and one night I came in after being half lit up. Man, I could have probably touched the TV and turned it on. I was so high. And my mother was in the room praying. And I happened to hear her go, Lord, I'm turning my son over to you. I don't know what to do with him. I don't want him to keep backsliding and end up in hell. God, in his mercy, gave me my third pancreas attack. January the 1st, 1995, 6:45 p.m. was my last double wild turkey and long neck bud and joint up at the Red Onion. I drove home, and for 72 hours, I was throwing up, and it got to the point with blood, and it couldn't stop it. I begged God for mercy. I begged God for mercy. I begged God for mercy after 72 hours. Percodans, Percocets, Tylenols would not work. God, in his mercy, said, I'm getting a hold of you, and I'm going to put an end to this for you, Janet Risco. I'm going to get your son back where he needs to belong. At 1:30 in the morning, I took my dope. I flushed it down, took all my bottles. I went downstairs, emptied them out, took my Playboys, wrapped them up, penthouse, took them out front, flushed all my stuff down the toilet, and I told God, I repent. I quit. And from that day forward, Ernie Sanders, Derek Nowell, Dale Henkel, Cliff Parks, Mark Valeni, Dr. Peter Ruckman, Dave Hunt, and here I am on the radio today because of God's mercy. He beat me so bad. That's what chastening does, because now I don't live for the devil anymore, man. That's behind me.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I think we all have that that turning point, if you will. And it, and isn't it interesting that don't you always wish that you had turned a little sooner?
Or when he beat you, let me tell you what, I begged. The pain was so bad, I begged. In 72 hours it took. And finally it's like, Lord, I won't do that again. And he probably sat on his throne and goes, oh, I know you won't, Dwayne.
But you
because
know,
the next time I'll take you home.
You know, the first thing God takes from you, though, when you rebel, is the thing that the verse 17 ends with, and that's peace. Because if you take away peace from anybody, they just lost their capacity to enjoy life. It doesn't matter what you get once you've lost your peace. No matter how much money, no matter how many opportunities, no even having opportunities and abilities, they once the peace is gone, none of it's any good. It's all dust, sand.
And you know what? You'll find out. You drink three beers, you need four. You drink four, yeah. You need five. You do a half a thing of Wild Turkey, you need more Wild Turkey. You need a half a thing of Yukon Jack, you need more. You need with this hit of marijuana, you need a bigger hit of marijuana. You need cocaine. Man, I lived that life. If anybody tells me, oh, Coach, you got it all wrong. No, you got it all wrong. God in his mercy, the money that I spent on beautiful women and one night, and doing my thing and all that, I look back and say, what a fool. The devil played me for a sucker, man. He played me for a sucker.
Why would he change his program when he's got a winner?
Right.
And it works on everybody.
Right. How about you out there? How many of you can't go nowhere unless you have a joint? How many of you have got to have booze in order to be happy? And then you wake up and it's all over. How many of you are addicted to pornography, addicted to masturbation? How many of you are addicted to lying, stealing, cheating? We all got hang-ups, but you know what? When you come to Jesus Christ, he breaks the chains and sets you free. And with that, we're going to end the Bible study. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to turn this over to Job Lesko and Danica Janovic, and it's called The Story of Killing Bobby Henry and Bianca Palmer.
Why don't you start, Joe?
Yeah, so my name is Joe Blesko, and I'm born here in Cleveland, Ohio, raised in the Slavic Village neighborhood. I'm 31 years old.
Go ahead, Dana.
Good evening. My name is Danica Jankovic. I'm 44. I was born in Serbia, moved to the United States in 91, lived in Slavic Village most of my life.
Well, Joe, why don't you start us out? And the story is real, and we should tell you that. What was the other young lady's name? This is the murder of two people.
Bianca Palmer.
Yeah, thank you.
So I met Danica in the 90s when she moved here from Serbia. My brother has four kids with her sister. I've known her for my whole life. She had a kid, Bobby Lee Henry III. He was born on January 28th, 2000. I've watched him, grow up throughout his whole life. And I also watched him pass. So, Danica, you want to tell us a little bit about Bobby and Bianca?
Okay, how did they meet? Go ahead.
Bobby was riding motorcycle. He was an MC club member for the Zulus. He met Bianca through different MCs. I believe she was Afro Dog.
Okay.
So Bianca's from Buffalo, New York. Dad was able to maintain a long distance relationship. Bobby went and picked her up, or vice versa. You know, that was together on the weekends. Unfortunately, we never got to meet Bianca.
But let me ask you this. Why don't we, and we talked about a motorcycle club. Let's clear the air on that. Okay. This is not the Hells Angels. These are people who joyride and ride a motorcycle.
Right. Good point.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, Bobby joined because most of the family members are there. You know, he got uncles and aunties and his dad.
And they do a lot of great things for the community every year. The school year, they do book bags for kids, and they do a lot of
fundraising.
A lot of outreach to the community.
Bicycles during the summer for the last 14 kids.
So these were basically two kids that were having a relationship. And they rode motorcycles.
Correct. Yes. Bobby was 22 and Bianca was 31. She was up here in Cleveland visiting for a week or two. Her and Bobby were on their way home. on July 7th, 2022. They're on their way home. There was two young juveniles. They both had stolen cars and picked their friends up. And they were joyriding around Slavic Village. During this joyride, they collided into each other. And then the 17-year-old male offender then collided into Bobby and Brianka's motorcycle. Ended up killing both of them. Brianka was dead on the scene, and Bobby was transported to Metro Health, where he was pronounced dead at the hospital. When this collision happened, every bit of it was captured on what they call real-time crime here in Cleveland, where they have security police cameras on every corner. So there is actually a video of these juvenile offenders racing through the streets of Cleveland prior to the accident, and there's a video of the accident, and then you could see the juveniles, both, you know, the car and the motorcycle are totaled. The juveniles go and check on Bobby, and then he goes to meet up with the other driver of the other vehicle, which was the female offender. They sit there for about 45 seconds. The female offender got out of her car. You could see it on the video. And through the witness in her vehicle, we were able to understand that she got out of the vehicle in order to wipe off the, you know, the smudge marks from the accident to try to hide the contact that she had made with the car prior to the accident. So one of the witnesses, which was from her vehicle, refused to get back in the vehicle with her. And so she ended up getting a ride home from a complete stranger and calling the police.
So there was two people in a car in the wreck?
So there were two cars.
There
was one car with a male and his friend, and then there was a second car with a female and her friends.
Now, who hit the bike?
The 17-year-old male hit the bike.
Okay.
He made – so the 16-year-old girl crashed into the 17-year-old boy. They hit each other, and then the bike the 17-year-old male struck the motorcycle.
So she hit him, and then that caused him to collide into the motorcycle.
It sent him onto the wrong side of the road.
Okay.
And had him collide into the motorcycle. That's okay. Correct. So they all fled the scene after, this all went down in about a minute's time, real time. The accident happened. They hopped out the car. They check on Bobby. They convene for about 45 seconds. And then they all flee the scene.
And this is prior to any emergency vehicles or anything else coming.
Correct.
They just kind of, yeah.
The videos, it's all really quick. It's all there. They crash, they check on them, they talk, and they run. And that's where the video stops. They don't show the paramedics arriving or anything like that. The video's kind of cut off there. The next morning, we met with the detectives from AIU, Sergeant Luke Hartman and Detective Charles Moten. They told us that the male was identified because he'd stolen his mother's car. She called the police and turned him in. They had the 911 calls from his mother. They had the 911 calls from the witness. So they identified all the parties. They arrested the young man that night. He was in court the next day. So the detectives found out that the judge was going to be Jennifer O'Malley, and they alerted us the next day of that. They told us on the 8th of July, the day after the crash, that Judge Jennifer O'Malley was the judge assigned, and that basically she is very sympathetic towards juvenile offenders, and that they didn't think that we would see any real justice, and they told us that from the very start.
So, and this judge is currently on the bench now, right?
So Judge Jennifer O'Malley is in her first term on the bench.
Is she a Democrat?
She's a 37-year-old Democrat in Cuyahoga County. The police officers clearly of the AIU, the Automobile Investigation Unit, clearly they know this judge. They know her track record. And they were kind of trying to prepare us for what we were about to go through, because we had never been through anything like this in our lives, and we had no idea what to expect. And we were thinking, since they had the videotape and they caught these juveniles red-handed, that it would be pretty simple to
right.
get some justice here. One would think. The 17-year-old male was arrested that night. The 16-year-old female was not arrested at any point yet. She was issued a summons to come to court, and
I'm going to stop you right here. because we're going to have our first break.
Okay.
But I want you to hold that thought, and we're going to bring you right back, okay?
Sounds good.
Hey, Style, can we do it?
And right now, folks, I want you to hear a great song by Casting Crowns called Only Jesus.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And
Casting Crowns, Only Jesus. What about you? Are you worried about your legacy? You know, I got a basement full of trophies. Ain't going to mean nothing when I take my last breath. Everything that we've done in this earth is vanity, as Solomon said. But you know what? When you get on your knees and you call out to Jesus and you say, Jesus, save me. I trust the life that you lived. I trust you going to the cross and shedding your blood and dying in my place and taking all my sins upon the cross. Forgive me, Father. I'm sorry for sinning. I want to live a life for you, and I'm going to honor you. That is the greatest day of your life. Because when you do that, your name gets written in the book of life. And when you take your last breath, you will stand before the Lord as if you've never, ever sinned. And if I had to give an account for the sins that I've done, I have a list all the way down to Columbus in the Shoe and back. And thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hey, you're listening to What's Right, What's Left. My name is Dwayne Risco, known as Coach Dwayne, sitting in for Pastor Ernie Sanders as he's at home under the weather. And Randy, would you say a prayer for Pastor Sanders?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we can pray. And then, dear, and actually, I should say this to you all, too. I did stop by his house today. So I got a chance to physically see him today when he was a little bit. He sounds like muffled, and it's all in his chest. And when I talked to him just before I came out here, he said he was just tired. So we're glad to see him get some sleep.
Yeah.
But I don't want anybody to think that it's like this. It's this dire thing. It's more like just like a. And then you all need to know too that he does get summer allergies too.
Absolutely.
He does get those too. So just a little bit of that kind of stuff. And we're delighted that he did take the day off because. You all know that he had his shoulder surgery, and he's coming along great with it. It's really, really great. And with that, dear Heavenly Father, first we want to thank you for our radio pastor, for the radio audience, for my pastor that I serve as under a deacon, and our friend and shepherd over the air, Pastor Ernie Sanders. We pray, dear Lord, that you would continue to govern. Guide Pastor Sanders, and you continue using him as your voice, your vehicle, your vessel. May he continue to connect the dots of these current events of the Bible and the news all the way to salvation. And thank you, Lord, for the uniqueness of this fellowship, this membership, and for us to know and honor him. We thank you, dear Lord, for his guidance, for your help. We pray for his swift recovery, and we ask that you would continue to keep your hand stayed on him. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sitting in for him and also being a part of this ministry. And I ask, dear Lord, that you would bring people to salvation through Pastor Dwayne tonight, through Pastor Hal later tonight, and whatever we might contribute as your people, as your hands, your feet, your voice, your vesicle. Your vessel and your vehicle. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And real quick, before we get down to this, for those of you out there, get a piece of paper, write this down. Dwayne Risco 73. DuaneRisko 73. That's my Facebook. Please go there and check it out because I post all kind of stuff for guidance and to help uplift stuff, and I defend the gospel. So for those of you that wanted to know, that's Dwayne Risco, DuaneRisko 73, Facebook. Check it out. Leave me a comment. Take it away.
All right. Now let's get back to Job and Danica. And I'm sorry, I was saying Danica, but that's anyway, okay. Danica. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you so much. So we had we'd gotten the information in the mail to go to court in the matter of Bobby Lee Henry III and Bianca Palmer. They were killed in Slavic Village on July 7th, 2022, in a hit-and-run accident. So I told you about the accident itself. The young man that collided with Bobby head-on was arrested that night and taken into custody. The female offender who also stole a car to meet up with him was not arrested. She was issued a summons for court. And so we all came into court at that hearing as a probable cause hearing. The prosecutor just had to show probable cause that they had committed these offenses.
Now, don't you think that that's kind of isn't that kind of odd with a double murder that was videoed and that you had to go to a probable cause hearing?
And even at this, it was out. Yeah, it was crazy to us because they had that both of the offenders had admitted to being the drivers. They stipulated to that fact. So the whole thing to us was pretty crazy. Then it drug on for 9 months, which made it even more crazy on something that should have been so open and shut, in our opinion. So there's this video that exists. The prosecutors have it. They told us about it. We asked them, our family asked them not to show it with us in the room or to show it so we couldn't see it. And so the prosecutor had set up a monitor to where just the judge and the offenders and the offender's lawyer could watch the video of the that the AIU Detective Bowden had compiled of the security cameras.
So Danica, you really had no right as a parent to sit there and see what they were looking at?
I really didn't want to see the video.
Okay, I understand. Okay.
So we asked. We requested to not see it.
You requested to not see it. Okay.
So we had asked for that. And
I'm glad we clarified that.
We had asked not to see it. We never wanted to watch that video. Mm-hmm. It's something to us that is.
I understand.
Bobby was only 22 years old. Based on what happened in the courtroom, though, we did end up watching the video. So the judge, the prosecutor showed it to the judge and the defense attorney. And so while they showed this video, the judge watched it. They had some dialogue back and forth. The judge then turned to the offender's parents and asked if they were good kids. Right after the video. Said, hey, are these kids good kids? And the mother.
What bearing should that have on a tragedy like this?
It got us off to the wrong, on the wrong foot with Judge Jennifer O'Malley. Right. It was our first inkling, our first, kind of red flag went off in our mind, like, hey, maybe this isn't so open and shut, and maybe we're not going to get justice. You know, we were in a spot of what we thought was open and shut. We thought it was on video. We thought it was pretty simple. Was now like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So she asked the parents how the kids are. Of course, they say they're model citizens. And so the judge sends them home on house arrest. And so
Now, how long was this house arrest?
So the house arrest was while we're pending trial.
So what were the terms of the house?
The terms of the house arrest were that the offenders were only allowed to go to school. They're in the most restrictive house arrest setting. They weren't allowed to go anywhere else. They weren't allowed to have visitors. They had a lot of stipulations to their house arrest that the judge had mandated but didn't require them to follow, we found out later.
Okay. And how did you find out that they didn't follow?
So the prosecutor's office told us, we asked regularly for updates, and he just told us honestly what was happening with them. The female offender was never charging her monitor. She had somehow gotten access to go to the library without that going through the judge. It just went – she was allowed to do that, but she wasn't going to the library. She was going other places. Eventually turned into her cutting off the bracelet and going on the run for a month.
Was there any repercussions after they found out she cut the bracelet off?
So they issued a warrant for her arrest, and she went on the run for a month. And then she came to the court hearing, and that's when they did take her into custody at that point. When the judge took her into custody, she told the defense attorney to file a motion to release her.
At the same time.
The judge
After cutting the bracelet off for a month and gone.
And she also thanked her for coming into court after she spent a month wasting police resources. You have a missing juvenile. That means that the Cleveland police must investigate that. They must check at her school, the morgue, the hospital, any place where she may reasonably be. And they also spend them that full
month.
But
that's on a daily basis, I thought.
Every single day for a full month.
I wonder if the prosecutor is a Democrat, too.
So I don't know their political affiliation. But Cuyahoga County, I think it's fair to assume that most of the leadership here is Democrat.
Socialist, Marxist, communist, far left.
Yeah, and which we didn't think that would matter much in this case.
Right.
We honestly thought that it was such a barbaric and brutal case.
You would have thought.
That anybody that watched this, no matter which side of the aisle you were on, you would be disgusted by it. That was our opinion of it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, just based on the motorcycle and the car are totaled. If you look at, there's been a lot of following on Channel 19 Cleveland News here. This case was followed from start to finish by the Channel 19 News. And so you can see the scene, you can see the video, all of that stuff is available online. We filed Freedom of Information request to get that video, and the detectives investigating the crime actually assisted us in obtaining it. They gave us the exact file name so that way we could locate it. And they were extremely helpful in trying to get the
video out. You have these detectives' names, right?
Yeah, that'd be Charles Moten and Luke Hartman.
Okay, yeah, because we do need to compliment the police when they
did
what's right.
Correct. They did an outstanding job, and we kept in contact with them. They kept in contact with us, and they actually apologized to us after this for the judge's decision and what she ended up doing. And they reminded us again that they knew all along that she was going to be very lenient to these kids. He wasn't sure if he had told us that. Right. So he told us again at the end of it, sorry, you know, and, so let's get back into it. Sorry, I get off track. So,
no, you're good. You're fine. You're doing good.
So they send the kids home pending trial. The male offender takes a plea deal in December of 2022. He admits to his wrongdoing. He's convicted of 3 felony charges.
What were the felony charges?
Aggravated vehicular homicide, 2 counts, for one for each victim, and then leaving the scene of an accident.
Okay.
So he got 3 felonies. He was convicted of those 3 felonies. And at the time that he was convicted, we got our chance to speak to the judge. We addressed the 45 seconds.
Did she look in your eyes?
She looked right at us, and she did give us the time and attention and respect that we deserved. I will give her that. And she did not interrupt us or hold us back or stop us from speaking, no matter how inflammatory we got. Mm-hmm. And we did lay into her pretty good.
Yes, we did.
Because we were very, very disappointed with her handling of this whole case.
So what did he end up with?
Yeah, what did he get?
So he ended up with probation. He ended up with community service.
You've got to be kidding me.
He ended up with a suspended license until he's 21. And he also got group home time for 6 to 9 months of group home time.
Jeez.
Now he got a suspended jail sentence as well, pending all of the other things.
And what was the suspended jail sentence? How many years?
1 year to juvie life.
Surprised he didn't get an autographed picture of Barack Obama.
Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. When we got to speak to her, we didn't know what she was going to sentence him to at that time. But when we got to speak to her, we did address a few things that stood out to us. She had watched this video, and you can see these kids convening for 45 seconds. And so what the prosecutor was saying, hey, they had a conversation here and they fled. They made the decision to flee this scene.
Right.
And the judge said, what conversation?
Right.
Do you have audio?
Yes.
Oh, technicality.
So what asked her was if her brilliant legal mind doesn't allow her to make that connection. I mean, you see people interacting for that amount of time. What do you think in your mind that they were doing? You think that they were just looking at each other?
We better get out of here. Let's go.
Correct.
And he never got
this
their story
the fact.
Straight before he left.
This is the fact. They have no license. They have no insurance. They're in stolen vehicles.
Oh, my God.
The first thing that person, I don't know. I wasn't there. But I guarantee you, that's what the first thing he said. I have no license, no insurance. We got to go.
And stolen vehicles yet.
Correct. So all of this was overlooked. In fact, the stolen vehicle part, the no license, no insurance, none of that stuff was even charged. So the legal system is complex and it's crazy. But basically, they only charge for really serious offenses, the rest of the stuff. What they say is it's a misdemeanor.
You
who cares?
Really serious. Well, how much
how
more serious,
can, serious you get?
Can you get?
Well, if that was one of Trump's kids, the book is getting thrown, man.
Oh well, that's the side of it. It really depends on who you are here in this day and age.
Yeah.
And so, he took his deal right away. He got out of there. He turned 17, actually. I mean, 18 this month. Mm-hmm. He had his 18th birthday. And so now he is an adult. And
probation for everything?
And, yeah,
we're
he
free.
Got, yeah. And so.
Two people.
So now got nothing, really.
So now
nothing,
the female offender.
And got sent home.
The female offender was the one that hit him and caused him to go into the motorcycle.
Right.
And so she was treated way more favorably than he was the entire time. In fact, the judge said multiple times that he was the primary offender, which in our mind, there is no such thing as a primary offender in a 3-car accident.
Okay.
You know,
yes.
You guys are racing down the street, you hit each other and he hit them. You guys are both at fault equally.
Equally.
Just because he made contact with the driver doesn't make you any less
now,
at fault.
Now, you see what's happening across America. When this stuff has happened in Democratic mayor cities, Democratic prosecutors, Democratic judges, you see what's happening. If you were in a conservative state with a conservative attorney general, conservative mayor, conservative judge, you get justice. We're seeing this across America.
Yeah, it's sad. And, you know, in this case, the prosecutor's office, we have to give credit where it's due. They charged both of these juveniles. They attempted to charge them both as adults. They asked the judge in both cases. They told them that this was serious enough. The offenses are to that level that they should be tried as adults, and they should face lifetime driver's license bans, and they should face, you know, as an adult, first of all, as an adult, this crime, aggravated vehicular homicide, carries a mandatory sentence, even if you're a first offender.
Yeah.
Really?
As an adult, for killing people in an aggravated manner, that's mandatory prison time, okay? Yeah. So for these juveniles
With no plea bargains?
The system always
like
pleads
out. Like if it's 10, they might knock it down to 7 or something like that?
Correct. They always plead out with them. That's kind of the judicial system's way of doing things. I don't really understand that. Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, the more money you pay, the better deal you get. I mean, that's how America works.
Bingo. Yep.
You got a good lawyer, and, you know, you could do what
you want.
Ask
OJ.
Yeah.
There's a lot of examples of it throughout history, and you could see the justice system's flawed in America. I mean, anybody can take a look at it and see, you know, it's honestly sad that the innocent are become the victims, really.
Yes.
And so as this case proceeded, the female, because of the judge's conduct on the bench, the female offender thought that she would beat the case outright. I mean, she took it all the way to the day of trial.
Mm-hmm.
She really thought that, you know, she hadn't done anything wrong because the judge hadn't told her that she'd done anything wrong. The judge
sided with her.
Basically, she had empathy for her. She had, there was a, you know, clearly some favorability towards these offenders that we didn't understand.
Right.
Because our family showed up. We packed that court. They said that they hadn't seen that many people at a pretrial ever.
Mm-hmm.
We had that place packed. And, I mean, I don't know, you know, we don't know really what was going on.
Meanwhile,
through the
there's two
mind.
People that's in the cemetery. Their so lives are cut short.
That was
short.
The thing that I missed out on earlier, too. Thank you for reminding me of that, was that we went to court and they sent those kids home to be with their families while we went and buried Bobby the next week.
Oh.
We're putting Bobby in the ground while these kids are sitting at home. You know, it was unbelievable to us that was even an option.
Right.
We said that for an adult, even if it's your first offense, even if you've had a great record your whole life, if you commit aggravated vehicular homicide, you go to jail. That's just the rules.
The word is aggravated.
Aggravated vehicular homicide. Yeah, so the female offender had, in December when the male took the plea, that's when she cut off her ankle bracelet. She cut off her ankle bracelet in December and went on the run until mid-January. And then she came into court. The judge thanked her for coming in, and they apprehended her. The judge told them to file a motion. We didn't get to come to this hearing at all. She just released her. We found out that she was released.
So nobody notified you about it?
Nobody notified that they released this offender at all on aggravated vehicular homicide. Nobody notified us of that. So, we were shocked about that as well. So she was released back home. We found out from their so we know them. I don't know if I mentioned that before. We're from the same neighborhood they are. We know their family.
Yeah. Okay.
So somebody from our family attended their great-grandfather's 85th birthday party, and they don't even know that. Like, the younger generation don't know that we know them.
Yeah.
So we're getting information directly from their family. So we found out from their family that she was home, and we texted the prosecutor. He didn't know she was home yet. He looked it up and said, oh, yeah, the judge released her, you know, sent her back home. So then we came in for trial, and at the trial date, she took a guilty plea. She pled guilty to two charges, two felonies, one felony, which was amended to include both victims, one count of aggravated vehicular homicide, and also one count of leaving the scene. Now, this offender, they couldn't find a group home that was willing to accept her.
That's true.
The seriousness of the crime and
the
seriousness of the crime and her attitude when they met her, her demeanor, how cold she was.
Yeah. She cured herself. Yeah.
Cold demeanor.
Yeah, her demeanor was
lack of a conscience.
Lack of a conscience is what you said. That was what I was looking for. Yeah. Her lack of a conscience was noticeable by a lot of people. And so what the judge had to actually do was take her into custody. So that way she could interview with every facility in Ohio, basically. They found one in southern Ohio that wanted the money, and they would take her. So they delayed this what, a month? Yes. Till they found a place for her?
Really?
Yeah.
And would we had talked us earlier
coming to
about
court and leaving, coming to court and leaving. It was crazy.
We talked earlier, and I kind of like to want to wrap it up with that a little bit about the money involved in the group home situation. Would you comment on that?
Correct. And so what we found out through this 9-month, 10-month thing was that the decisions that these judges are making have a lot of monetary considerations behind them. So when these kids were sent home on house arrest, somebody has to pay for those bracelets. There's a lot of money involved in that. And also we found out if she were to send them to jail, that the county would lose that money and it would go to the Ohio Department of Youth Services.
Check that out. So
what we found out was that there was a lot of money behind what she was doing. It wasn't no merits of the case.
Dirty
mattered
politics
to her at all. It really was about where the money was going to go. And I've always been told this my whole life. Yes. Follow the money.
Follow the money. Judge Jennifer O'Malley. Folks.
Judge Jennifer O'Malley.
Yes. Gotta love it. And now when she gets a run for re-election, I'm sure you guys
are going to run. She's going to run in 2024. Now,
I'll
the last
time.
I'll
be standing in front of the juvenile court.
But see, the problem with that is that you had mentioned earlier, too, that her father is
her uncle
Michael O'Malley,
and we all know that in Cuyahoga County, if you got the right last name, you're a shoo-in.
If they treat you bad and make a white slave out of you or a black slave out of you, they still will vote for the slavery.
Yeah, and it's a shame, you know. And this judge, she's 37 years old. She's a very young judge with a strong last name, and that's all she's got. Look at her record. Look at her resume. You'd say, why the hell is she sitting there?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, she worked in an internet crimes unit. She worked in an internet crimes unit. She's never done, you know, what has she really done to deserve that spot on the bench other than be the niece of a highly successful prosecutor? Now, Michael O'Malley.
Sounds like the case of Biden's kid.
Yeah. Well, that's if you look at America.
Hunter Biden, too, you know.
If you look at America, that's pretty much the story of America. Yes. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's who you are and who you know. I mean, that's how it works. So our goal is to kind of get the word out there that Jennifer O'Malley is not Mike O'Malley.
So
she's not like him at all.
And kind of closing this. What would you suggest to the people out there that might find themselves stuck in similar situations?
All that we ever wanted through this was to get some kind of justice.
Yeah.
Two people lost their lives that were completely innocent, that had done nothing wrong. And so what we want to do is to change that for the next family. We want the next family to get justice.
Yeah.
We want the next family to see some semblance of justice. So we told the judge this both times that we met her. Told her right to her face, this is the two things that we're going to do. Number one, we're going to work to change the laws in the state of Ohio for juvenile offenders.
Good for you.
Aggravated vehicular homicide should be included with the mandatory bindover.
Good for you.
That should be automatically. Aggravated vehicular homicide is not vehicular homicide. It's not manslaughter. It is aggravated for a reason. There's something that makes it aggravated, okay? So we want that to be a mandatory bindover for juveniles. Number two, we want Jennifer O'Malley off the bench. We want to vote her off the bench.
Resign.
Well, we asked her to resign, but God knows she won't do that. But we want a strong, hopefully conservative justice in there that will look at things from a purely from a case standpoint and on the merits of a case, not on monetary considerations or, you know, where's the money going to go? You know, punish these kids according to what they've done. They took two lives.
The trouble is,
punish them accordingly.
Until you change the voters' hearts, they're going to continue vote like they always did.
Cuyahoga County's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we have some of the worst judges in Cuyahoga County.
We're into our last minute. Yeah. We want to need
that should be held accountable for the decisions they make in those courtrooms because they're destroying our communities. They're laying these criminals right back on house arrest. They're cutting their bracelets off and committing these crimes. Nobody's safe. And I'm not just talking about Slavic Village. I'm talking about communities around Slavic Village, too.
And America.
And it's spilling out into the suburbs and all over America.
So here's what I'd like to say first is we want to thank you very much. And our hearts go out to you. I want to say a quick prayer and say that in Jesus' name, may he be your burden bearer as much as your sin bearer and be the God of all comfort to you. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you for having
us. And thank you for
thank you so
promoting
so
the truth.
God bless you guys.
How much time? About
About 10 seconds.
10 seconds, okay.
God
bless. Now we're getting ready to take our 11 o'clock
break,
and we want to thank you folks for listening. We'll be right back in about 10 seconds.
And we
got
a great song coming up by Steve Ragsdale.
Yes, we do.
Don't go nowhere.
Thank you.
Fight the fire.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.